from the 48-yard line. Here's Hoyer back to pass. Looking, lobbing, Cameron caught it. He's got it all the way. 10-5, touchdown.
Well, that was pretty much a one-receiver route.
What a throw by Hoyer. He dropped it in the bucket, and the bucket were the hands of Jordan Cameron, 52 yards. From the one, here's Hoyer, play action, looking, he's got a man wide open, end zone, touchdown, Jim Gray. Well done with 12 seconds to go in the half.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer at ClevelandBrowns.com, with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Time to take a look at the Browns' tight end position. And Andrew, this is a position that has a little bit of uncertainty headed into 2015. As Jordan Cameron, the leading receiver at the position each of the last two seasons, although this year was an injury-shortened year, is an unrestricted free agent. You got Jim Dre, you've got Gary Barnidge, but right now, an unrestricted free agent in Jordan Cameron, probably the top priority. What did you see from this group this year? Do you think he stays, or do you think he goes?
Kind of passed the final test there at the very end, and then, you know, but then those last few games, he showed you kind of that big play threat that he presents, and why, you know, he's going to be kind of a coveted guy by other teams in free agency, and why he's got some options to consider. And then, you know, Barnidge and Dre were both solid. They're not going to be the guys that make those huge plays down the field, but they can catch the ball when it's thrown to them. I remember that catch that knocked, I think it was Jim Dre, to the ground for Manziel against Buffalo. You know,
that's right.
He came up with it down the field. So, you know, they're solid guys, but if you lose Cameron to free agency, it's going to be a position that really needs to be addressed either in the draft or through free agency.
Staying on the topic of Jordan Cameron, do you think that Jordan Cameron is more of a system guy? You know, Norv Turner and the offense that he had, or everywhere he's been, you know, going back to Dallas, Jay Novacek, my time with him in San Diego with Antonio Gates, he featured the tight end. I don't think in Kyle Shanahan's offense the tight end was featured as much as we would have liked with a Pro Bowl caliber tight end. So in that saying, do you think that Jordan Cameron is more of a system guy, or do you think that he can get back to that 70-plus catch kind of guy, 1,000-plus yards as well?
Yeah, I don't know if he can maybe get to that level, but I think he can definitely put up bigger numbers than he did this year, especially with a full season being healthy the entire time as well. I think, and like I said, what he showed, he has big play potential. He's got great speed. He plays the position. I think on his Twitter account, he lists himself as a pass catcher, not as a tight end necessarily, kind of following that Jimmy Graham type thing there. So, you know, I think that he can be kind of that good, that big play guy, kind of guy at the tight end position. So we'll see what he can do, what teams are interested in him, and I think we'll see what kind of offer the Browns make him going forward.
And he said it'd be cool to finish here. I started here. There's a lot of factors going to it. I haven't given it thought yet. You know, it is interesting, too, because now you don't know who the offensive coordinator is. So what kind of a role and what kind of a tight end does the offensive coordinator want to have will depend, because Jordan Cameron, I would call more of a receiver than a blocker. I think Dre and Barnidge probably more blockers than receivers. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Do you think this is a position, if, let's say, Jordan Cameron is not back, that the Browns will attack in free agency?
You know, it's certainly a potential, and again, it all goes down to what you think you can get in the draft, what kind of value there is. You know, it would maybe be a surprise, I think, to all of us if the Browns used one of those first-round picks on a tight end. There's a couple of first-round guys out there. Nick O'Leary is a potential first-round guy as well, so maybe that would come as a surprise, but maybe not. Maybe that's a thing you can maybe splurge a little bit when you have two first-round picks. So if you do it through the draft, you can pick one of those guys. But through free agency, there's some veterans out there, and I think the big name out in free agency that's maybe going to attract the most money is, it looks like, Julius Thomas in Denver.
Absolutely, and I think – and, guys, I'll throw this out to both. I believe that if we don't decisively make a move to get another playmaker or playmakers in the wide receiver room, that we've got to get more athletic at tight end. So even if we do, in fact, you know, keep Cameron, I think adding another pass catcher behind him or that can replace him, because I think not to knock Dre or Barnage's skill set, they filled in adequately, but in no way, shape, or form are they a game breaker or can be built into a role as a game breaker. So I think we need to get young, we need to get athletic, we need a change of pace tight end to add to this room. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, I think there's definitely more coming up through the college ranks as well, because I feel like it's almost a trickle-down effect. You saw what Bill Belichick did in New England with the tight ends. I think Alabama almost started doing that. They were recruiting tight ends. Other schools are trying to get more athletic at that position, and you know, it's a copycat league, both college and NFL, so guys are coming in ready to kind of prove that. But the results have been kind of hit or miss. You look at, you know, the Lions used a really big draft pick on Eric Ebron last year, and he really didn't do all that much. And I know, you know, it takes time for guys to develop, but, you know, that's going to lead to some frustration and maybe some reevaluating on should you use that early of a pick on a tight end, even as good as they can be. But, you know, like any position, it's hit or miss.
That's a good question. I mean, even for you, Nathan, is like, where do you see if you're locked in on a guy at tight end that you could feel can step in and play early, how high do you draft a guy?
We've seen a lot of them go in the second round. I think, you know, the rare guy, Ebron, goes in the first round. I mean, listen, if you can get a Rob Gronkowski, you take him in the first round
because
he's a matchup nightmare. But otherwise, I think you try to move in, and you look at the Browns tight ends last year. You know, you didn't think you got much production, 822 yards. That's still 15th among all tight ends. The three touchdowns, only 25th. They need to do better and incorporate that position or get receivers. But there's no question the pass game overall needs to improve. Although I do want to say Gary Barnes was very clutch. Had the big catch against New Orleans, big catch against Cincinnati, and a big catch as well against Atlanta to set up the game winners in the New Orleans and Atlanta games. But, yes, this will be an interesting position. And you wonder if Jordan Cameron's value after last year, you know, the offer that he turned down at that point, how much higher that is than the offer he's going to get now. Three concussions since December 2012. Hasn't played a full season in the NFL. It'll be interesting to see. He did show some more big play capability, though, this year, averaging over 17 yards a catch.
He's going to have options. I think that's what's going to be clear, because it's a position that there's a lot of good tight ends in the NFL, but you know, there's some teams that just don't get much out of that position, and they're going to be interested and intrigued by a guy like him, especially if he goes in, passes the physicals, looks ready to go, and looks like he can put together a 16-game season.
And that's where I just want to kind of, again, the point that you made, I think, is spot on, and I actually wrote it down here, Nathan, is it's waiting on that offensive coordinator, you know, and Jordan Cameron has to see, I think, his value of himself and the Browns' value of him will grow or depreciate based around what mind do we bring in here to run the offense. Because I think, you know, is it going to be a big role or is it going to be a smaller role? And I think if Jordan Cameron at that point understands it's going to be a smaller role, he will, as much as he wants to stay and finish his career here, as you've said, your mind starts to wander at, is the grass greener? They're going to give me more money. But also, too, is it maybe a bigger role with some incentives or some back-end money to be a part of a rebuilding process somewhere else? We could be the guy.
Right, and you know, Mark Trestman's the name that's been brought in here, and you saw how successful Martellus Bennett has been in that offense. He's utilized the tight end, so that would probably be more of an appealing offense. If it's, again, an offense that doesn't really use the tight end much other than a blocker, I don't think this is where Jordan Cameron would want to be in. It wouldn't be value-wise the right move for the Cleveland Browns either. Certainly a position that I think we all expected more out of this year in the Kyle Shanahan offense, given the history of the production.
And no Josh
system.
Gordon.
No Josh Gordon for a while, which I think ended up hurting the tight ends at times. But they did make some big plays. But overall, you know, I think a mediocre season. If you were handing out grades to these three guys, what would you give them, Andrew?
You know, I think it was, considering the circumstances they faced, you know, with Cameron's injury, and like you said, I think both Barnage and Dre put up, I think, the highest catch totals of their entire careers. So I think that, you know, they performed pretty well. But like you said, it was just they performed adequately. But when didn't have Cameron out there, you kind of missed that big play threat. So, I give it kind of in that BC range, and I think they can be better. And I think they're going to address that position going forward.
To be decisive, I give them a C+. And Andrew, you hit on a lot of those. I think it was a little above average. You've got to, you know, give up some props to Jim Dray and Barnage for making those big catches. And when their numbers were called, you know, they made the catches. Not enough, as I said, to be a game breaker. And then also, too, is if you go back, look at the Oakland game. Both of those guys without Cameron getting dominated by Khalil Mack. And, you know, really, so they need to step up their blocking game. I think the Browns know it's a position that needs to get addressed, both on the end of the line as a blocker for this run game, if that's going to be our true identity, which I believe it will. But then also, too, is we've got to get more value out of that position. And I think more value from a production standpoint with what the league is becoming, as pass-happy as it is, that you'd love to have a guy that can go for 25 receptions and you have a guy that goes for 50.
No question. And I think when you look at these guys this year, I would give this group a C+. I thought it was pretty average, middle of the pack. You didn't get exceptional receiving from them. You didn't get exceptional blocking from them either. And I think that's what was disappointing to a lot of people. You expected more out of Jordan Cameron, hopefully as a blocker. And Jim Dre, I thought, had times where he blocked well, but other times where he certainly did not. That Oakland game certainly stood out there. Andrew, you followed college football for quite some time. Cardale Jones, what do you think about him? Go pro, stay in school.
It all depends on – I think he maybe needs some real talk from Urban Meyer to see how this competition is going to play out. I think if he goes back and it looks like, you know, his odds of winning that job are maybe in that 30 to 40% range, then you have to kind of consider your options. And, you know, you also have to think if your sample size is this small, you can – maybe impress teams with that, because there really isn't any negative film on you at this point. But
There's
a lot of time in the scouting process where they're going to pick out your flaws. And I think that even though he doesn't have it on film, they will be able to find it. But if he doesn't think he can improve whatever draft stock he has right now, then I would say he should go. But, you know, if he does come back, I think Urban Meyer's got a really tough decision, because, you know, they played really, really well under JT Barrett. But then those last three games, they were clearly the best team in the country with him at quarterback.
I think anytime you get into scouting, and the, as you said, Andrew, the amount of time that goes into scouting, one scout, one assistant GM will give their report to the GM, and it only takes one team or one guy to really latch onto you and like you a whole lot, and you start just, you know, breeding positivity about this guy, and his name constantly comes up in meetings. And then when you have that maybe additional fourth round pick, you know, from another team in a trade that you made in years past, you take that shot on a guy simply because you evaluated the little that you know, and you love everything that you see for all the right reasons, and you take that pick. And in this case, if it's not another school in college, I wouldn't be opposed to him, you know, growing in maturity. As Bruce said, you know, he is older than Johnny Manziel. So, and with, 3 years left of eligibility, you know, at the college level, a decision's got to be made, and he's only got, less than 48 hours now.
Well, you know, I think the thing, too, is it would be an interesting pick, especially if you pick Cardale Jones, if you have an established quarterback, because then you can get him in the system and not kind of have that extra added pressure. Because
sure,
any team that drafts him with an uncertain quarterback situation, then he might be maybe developed maybe
too
fast.
But he seems to love the pressure, though, Andrew.
Yeah.
You know, but I know it's a whole different line of kind of pressure, though.
That's why, too, the games in which he played, you know, it's crazy, because it's hard to just say those were three games, because those were three huge games.
Yes.
Those weren't just three non-conference games to start the season.
Three biggest games they could be. You can check out Andrew Gribble's full coverage of the tight end position right now at ClevelandBrowns.com. As we do our position reviews here, senior staff writer at ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew, thanks for being with us.
No problem.
I will talk with you again mañana, I am sure. When Matt and I come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We can talk about Browns tight ends. We can talk Buckeyes as well. After further review comes your way at 2:30. So still a lot to get to here as we wrap up this second hour of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.